Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for just an opportunity to be back in church on this Sunday evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 22, Luke in chapter 22, doing things different tonight, and on Sunday nights, usually we've been going through and studying the divisions of the Word of God and preaching on the books of the Bible, and I trust that you'll come back, and we'll get back into that not next week because it's Easter, but the week after. But tonight, with the ordination, the challenge to Rusty, whom we are going to be ordaining tonight as a church, I believe it's a challenge that all of us need to receive. And so here in Luke in chapter 22, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 31 down to verse 34, and then skip over to verse 52 and read down to verse 62. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now look down to verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed out afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, what a blessing it is to be in church. What a blessing it is to sense your presence in this place. As we've opened up your holy word, we want to hear from you tonight. Not only do we want to challenge Rusty, but we want to challenge and encourage each and every one that's come through the doors of this church this evening. And so I pray, God, that you would once again anoint the preaching of thy word, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you would study in Luke in chapter 22, it's a powerful chapter in the Word of God, but here we find that Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper. He has been preparing them, but he is truly preparing them for his crucifixion. And so he wanted to help them, and he introduced to them and instituted the Lord's Supper. Right after this, then he addresses all the disciples, but mainly Simon Peter, in verse 31 down to verse 34. And after he had warned Peter of Satan, then we find in less than 24 hours, Peter, who said that he would never deny the Lord, we find that he denies him three times. And Peter realizes this, and he weeps bitterly. I want to preach a message to you tonight that I have simply entitled, Learn What Peter Learned. Something that every one of us, as born-again believers, need is to learn what Peter learned. The first thing that we find here that Peter would learn, what Jesus was trying to get across to him in the very beginning, is that Satan is a powerful adversary. The enemy that we face is not flesh and blood, first and foremost. The enemy that we face is spiritual, and it's Satan. We find here that Jesus addresses Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, listen to me. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Can I tell you that Jesus was warning Peter of Satan's plan, and the devil's plan has not changed. Satan wants to render you useless. If you have been saved, his first plan, Satan's first plan, is to take every person he can to a devil's hell with him. Satan wants to blind humanity to the reality of Jesus Christ and salvation only through the blood. And so if you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Satan has his plan working in your life. He's blinded you to that need to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. But more than likely that if you're here on a Sunday night, most everyone here at least professes to be saved. Satan's already lost his first initiative, and that is to keep you from ever being saved. But I guarantee you, even though he lost that, he is actively working in your life today to render you useless for the cause of Christ. If you're saved here tonight, that means that God lives and dwells within you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has things that he wants you to accomplish. If there was nothing else that he wanted you to accomplish, then he would end your life on this earth and take you on to glory where it's going to be far better for us. Amen. Amen. But as long as we're here, then we know that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And Satan is very much aware of that. And Satan wants to render you useless. He wants to sift you as wheat. Take the usefulness away and just leave the chaff. Jesus said, Peter, I want to warn you of Satan's plan. Can I tell you that Peter's faith would have been pretty strong? At this particular time, if you would study the other Gospels, you'll find a clear picture of what Peter is saying. And Peter is saying, I'll die with you. There's no way that I'm going to deny thee. These others, yeah, they might. They're a little bit skeptical here. I don't know about them, but I know me. I know myself. And my faith is strong, and I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. Peter's faith was pretty strong because, first of all, we find that Peter was saved. Peter genuinely believed Jesus Christ to be the Messiah. And not only did he receive him as his own personal Savior, he left everything to follow after him with a desire for Jesus to make him fishers of men. That's what Jesus promised him. You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter had a very successful, I seen Peter's house when I was in Israel. And I seen it and all the things that took place there. And Peter was supposed to be one of the more wealthier of the disciples at that time. He had a very successful fishing job, if you will. He had his own boat and he was very successful with his father and his brothers. And we find that he could have made a very easy life for himself. But when he believed in Jesus Christ, he left it all. He left his family. He left his friends. He left his occupation because his faith was now focused on the Messiah. And he was going to follow the Messiah. Peter would have witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I'm saying this to help you to understand how strong Peter's faith would have been in the beginning. Peter would have witnessed Jesus taking that little bit of food and that little bit of fish and feeding over 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And Peter was watching that, and he knew what they started out with, and he saw Jesus multiply it time and time again as the disciples would come back and their baskets would be full, and they would take them out and take it to the crowd. And Peter was one of them that was carrying the basket, and he would take it back, and it was just continue to be filled. Peter knew this is no ordinary man. This is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. Peter's faith would have been pretty strong, because not only did he see Jesus feeding the 5,000, there's many miracles that he saw Jesus accomplish, but he seen Jesus walking to him in the midst of a storm, walking on the water. But it didn't stop there. Peter's faith was strong enough that he was the only one of the disciples to actually step out of the ship and walk on water. I mean, he had this experience. He had this knowledge. He had this understanding of who Jesus was. There's no way I can walk on water unless the Son of God bid me to come unto him. His faith was so strong that he was able to walk on water. His faith was so strong because he came upon Lazarus after Lazarus had died and he was stinking, and they put him in a tomb. And he heard Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he's standing there wondering, what is going to take place? And I was there. I seen this with my own eyes when I was in Israel. The place that this took place in. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walks out of his own tomb. Now, can you imagine if you had actually experienced those things and you saw these things and you had part in these things, how your faith would be just like Peter? And he said, "Lord, my faith is so strong, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you." And the Bible goes on to say that all the other disciples said the same thing after Peter said it. And now, you're telling me that Satan will get me to deny you? He couldn't see it. He didn't think there was anything or anybody that could ever get him to deny that he knew the Savior. But Jesus is warning of Satan's power. Peter learned this. How do you know this? I know that he would have had to have learned that before he could have written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Peter chapter 5. Look there with me. This is the very same Peter. That learned how powerful an adversary Satan was. Even his faith was where it was. Within 24 hours, he denied him 3 times. The power of our adversary, the very same adversary that we fight today, that's out to sift you and I as wheat. Peter would write 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 when he says, "Be sober, be vigilant." When you understand who this is coming, now this was inspired by God, but God is working through Peter who had learned this. He said, no matter how strong you think you are, no matter where you're at in your faith, listen to me, listen to me. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. How many of you would have the strength and the faith to stand before a roaring lion charging you with his teeth revealed as to getting ready to devour you as his prey? He said, I want you to know this, something I learned. We have a powerful adversary. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Can I challenge you, Rusty, tonight? God has purpose and a plan for your life. But there's an adversary. And he's going to try as much as he can to render you useless for the cause of Christ. Be sober. Be vigilant. Learn what Peter learned. If you go back to our text with me, Luke in chapter 22, Jesus said, Satan desire. You serve, you're going to have to face a powerful adversary. And then in verse 33, Peter says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. In verse 34, the Bible says this, and he said, I tell thee. The second thing that Peter would learn is to listen to what God says. Amen. Listen to what God says. Too often we just want to tell God what we think. I remember my third grade school teacher, Mrs. Payne. And third grade was the time that I kind of turned around. I think it was because of Mrs. Payne. She took a personal interest in me. But what she said to me, I've never forgot. She says, Dan, if you're talking, you're not listening. An amazing thing. If you're talking, you're not listening. More important than you telling God what you want to do with your life, and you're telling God how you want to live, and you're telling God what you want Him to know about you. Listen, if you're talking, you're not listening. And when it comes to God, we had much better listen to what He has to say than what we have to say to Him. Peter wasn't listening. Jesus said, The one that you're looking to as the Messiah, the one you're looking to as the only begotten Son of God, I tell thee. But Peter didn't listen. Peter placed more trust in his experiences than he did in God's Word. I've been in the ministry for some 37 years, and I've seen a lot of men fail in the ministry because they put more faith in their experiences than they did in what thus saith the Lord. Listen to what God says. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Listen to Him. Lean not into your own understanding, to your own experiences, thinking that your experiences are more powerful than what the Bible says. I love the Psalm 119. It has so much there. Let me just read to you just a few verses here in Psalms 119 and verses 1 through 5. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. When you're following His word, you're not going to sin against God. He said, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Verse 11, he says, the word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Verse 15, I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quickeneth Thou me according to Thy word. Verse 24, the Bible says, Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Oh, that we would learn to listen to what God says. Let the Word of God be our counselors. Listen to me, we should never, ever disagree with God. Jesus says, Peter, I tell thee. Peter hadn't learned yet to listen to what God says. He was relying on his experiences. Because he was basing everything upon his experiences, I'll not deny you. So he's saying to Jesus, I'm right and you're wrong. Can I tell you tonight, we must always face life saying, if my thoughts and my desires are opposite what the Bible says, I need to automatically say, Lord, I'm wrong and you're right. I'm wrong because your ways are so much higher than my ways. Your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. And no matter what I'm thinking, if it's different from what the Word of God says, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Help me to better understand what thus saith the Lord. As you go through the ministry and you're going to run into a lot of different circumstances and situations, and Satan's going to try to come at you and going to try to get you to lean on your own experiences. And yet, what God has given to us to lean on is His holy word. And it'll never change. Once God says it, it's said, and it will never change. We serve an immutable God. He never changes. Listen to what God says. Peter learned that before he could write 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. His first letter. Verse 23. Peter writes, because he learned this. He writes, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Yeah, we need to learn what Peter learned. We have a powerful adversary. Don't underestimate Satan's strengths. We need to listen to what God says. The third thing we find over here in the book of Luke, verse 22, verse 47 down to verse 51. Don't expect God to bless your plan. What do you mean? Well, look right here, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? I believe all the disciples had already decided that we will die with him. If it means that we have to pull the sword and fight, we're going to pull the sword and fight. And one of them, guess who that one was? I think we can all agree, this is Peter. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. He was aiming for his neck and got his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear. Healed him. If you would read the other gospels, you'll find that Jesus rebuked Peter and restored the servant's ear. I believe, as do many others, that this was what ultimately led Peter to deny Jesus, because Peter was offended that Jesus, he knew him to be the Messiah, he knew him to have the power. He was offended because he didn't say, Peter, continue to use the sword do it your way. But in reality, he said, Peter, I'm not going to bless your way. I didn't tell you to do that. I've just explained to you, I'm going to go to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to die. They still didn't understand that. He had his plan. But Peter wanted him to bless Peter's plan. Because God did not support and bless Peter's plan, then Peter was offended, and Peter ultimately denied him. Don't expect God to bless your plan. There's been a lot of ministries fail because so-called pastors decided to do it their way and then wondered why God would not bless their way. Peter was offended, too proud to admit he was wrong and get back to doing it God's way. He learned not to expect God to bless his plan when he wrote 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Peter learned this now. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Be looking to exalt yourself. Don't be looking to get out and do your own thing. God's plan is much better. God's plan is what God promises to bless. Don't expect God to bless your plan. Expect God to bless his plan. Yeah. One last thing that I find that Peter learned that we need to learn ourselves. First of all, Satan is a powerful adversary. We need to listen to God. Don't trust our experiences. Don't expect God to bless my plan. He'll bless his plan. But then Luke in chapter 22, in verse 32, Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you see things clearly, and you understand these things, strengthen thy brethren. Can I tell you, Peter did some very foolish things. Peter's mind went in a lot of different directions. And ultimately, he did exactly what Jesus told him he would do. But down deep, he knew of Jesus' prayer. In verse 62, I was at the house of Caiaphas. I went down into a cistern that they would have lowered Jesus down into and where they had beat him. And right outside is where Peter was standing. And it's a place where you could actually view each other. He would have seen Jesus in the house of Caiaphas. And I stood where Peter would have stood. And I imagined Jesus being beaten and abused, but turning and looking into the eyes of Peter after Peter had denied him three times. And Peter made eye contact with the Savior. He realized what he had done. And the Bible says he wept bitterly. No doubt at this point, realizing that Jesus is the Messiah, and I failed him miserably. And I don't deserve to be called a Christian. Nevertheless, an apostle, a servant, I don't deserve that. But Peter learned something. He learned never to give up. He learned and he remembered that Jesus prayed for him. And he would have an opportunity to be converted, or if you will, to repent and get back on track. He would have had to learn that before he could write 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll close with this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. When he would learn of the devil's strength, and he would say, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." He understood that he was there. And then he says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." But verse 10, "But the God of all grace..." Even though he felt like a failure, he didn't deserve a second chance. He didn't deserve to be named among Christians and to be one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he understood God's grace and his mercy. And he writes, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us..." If God called you, if God has a purpose for your life, you can fulfill that purpose. Don't give up on it. Don't quit. "But the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you've suffered a while." And there are consequences to sin. There's consequences to turning the other direction. After you suffered a while, make you, and the first word he uses here is perfect. The word perfect here means restored. Because of God's grace and because of God's mercy, we can be forgiven and we can be restored. Peter learned, "Even though I failed, I looked into the eyes of Jesus and realized that you were right all along. I denied you three times before the cock would crow twice." But he learned, never give up. Because the God we serve is a God of mercy and grace. Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and this last one is settle you, make you secure. Secure you in your call and ability to accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. Tonight, have you learned? Well, Peter learned, it would behoove us all to learn these things. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know it by now, Satan is a powerful adversary. Without your belief and your strength that God will give you, you are no match for the devil. But with him, greater is he that was in you than he that's in the world. Oh, how you need to understand, we are dependent upon the Lord for victories. Listen to God. How important. Listen to the Word of God. His Word never changes. Don't get to the place where you're expecting God to bless your plans and then get offended when He doesn't. No, you need to get on board concerning His plan for your life, and He will bless that. But then ultimately, no matter how many times you fail, God still loves you. Never give up. Never give up. God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Tonight, as we preach this message, I don't know how God might have used it in your life, but there's an opportunity right now. We're given an invitation. An invitation allows you to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If you've not learned these things, maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, help me to learn these things. Help me to leave here tonight applying these things to my life. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, come to this altar. Let somebody take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. However God might be speaking to you right now, however He might be pricking your heart, make whatever decisions that God would have you to make. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray that You would, God, just right now, speak to each one and help each one to know just what You would have them to learn and what You would have them to dedicate themselves to. Bless in this invitation, in Jesus' name.